Okay, welcome back to podcast. I think this is podcast number 4. How are you doing, Mark? You're back. You're on podcast number 1.
I know. I'm back. And it's really, really great to be back. Thank you. Thank you for inviting me. Doing all right. Thanks.
Yeah, we haven't actually published podcast number 1 yet, but we will be getting down to that. I've got them all edited. So probably when this one goes out, it'll go out with your the first one as well. But yeah, I'm getting there. We've been very busy. Hasn't it been busy?
Been so busy. And of course, with assertion 10 on everybody's agar by the 31st of March, which obviously by the time this podcast is airing, everybody will have been through that, come out the other side, making sure that they were able to tick, yes, we comply to those 4 key parts of assertion 10.
Yeah, no, me, I'll get this out next year. No, I'm definitely, I'll definitely get it out. I've also got like a name for it now. I've been iterating on it. You suggested Super Clerk. Then I was thinking, no, it's more about town and parish councils. Then I was going to do Parish Pod, but that's been used. Then I was going to play on place names. I've kind of settled it and I was going to Parish Upon Pod or Pod Upon Parish, but I'm going to go Pod on the Parish. So that's what
Pod on the Parish.
Pod on the Parish. Yeah. Perfect. So it's kind of a, play on place names.
All right.
Yeah, so that's what we're going to go with. But anyway, so today we've got you talking about community engagement and council website. So we'll obviously jump into that when we invite all the speakers in. I think we've got like a couple of hundred registered. So that's quite good. I was
Sounds
quite surprised
good, yeah.
by that because, it is April the 15th. Everyone's deep in trying to get their agar the year end down. So it's really good to see people, joining today. But anyway, so is there anything else going on in your life? Anything you want to share? Any kind of updates?
Actually, we've got some pretty exciting news. Some years ago, when the website accessibility regulations came in for parish and town councils, I wrote a guidebook for NALC so that parish and town council clerks and the councils themselves could understand what the requirements were. Well, that has stood in place firmly since 2018, and we have just launched with NALC yesterday the updated guide. It's called The Good Councillor's Guide to Website Accessibility, and it is now available to download for free from the NALC website. You've got to log in with your clerk or your councillor details, which are free to register anyway, but you can now get an updated guide that talks about the updated regulations in terms of website compliance for all councils and also how that fits in with assertion 10. So it's very, very timely.
Oh, awesome. So yeah, you have to have is it easy to get a NALC login? Or
yeah, sure. If you're a councillor or a clerk, you can just simply go to the NALC website and register.
Cool. So I guess also this session today, because a lot of your sessions you're talking about accessibility, so it's more on the compliance side of things, but you're now transitioning, I get the feeling, in terms of kind of the things you're talking about
that's right, John. The session today is really how to make use of what is your most important communication tool as a parish or town council. It's your website. And so, yes, in previous sessions we've talked about compliance and what must be in place, but this is your most powerful and far-reaching communication tool. So today I'm going to be talking about how you can make best use of that, some techniques and tips that you can use to really, really help with community engagement.
Awesome. So we'll welcome all the audience in. As I said, we've got about 185, so let's jump on over actual questions. So over to you, Mark.
John, thank you so much. And thank you, everybody. As John mentioned at the beginning of the session, everybody must be knee deep in their agars right now. So we very much appreciate you joining us at this very busy time. The idea behind today is for me to share some advice, some guidance on how to improve your community engagement using your website. How do I know what to do? Well, as John kindly mentioned at the beginning, Aubergine are one of the UK's leading experts in providing compliant websites. We've built nearly 1,000 of them for parish and town councils. We know what works. We know what doesn't. Also, just to provide a little bit of credibility, those who haven't seen me teach before, I'm an experienced councillor of nearly 15 years in my own parish. I'm also a qualified clerk, although I'm not clerking at the moment. I'm running Aubergine and building websites. So I bring to bear quite a lot of experience and information that I'd like to share with you. I have some slides. Now, I'm going to share my screen right now. We're going to go through those together. But as John has mentioned, if something isn't clear, pop it in the chat and we'll go through it at the end. But I think probably the best thing to do is let's get stuck in with those slides and we'll start our way through the process. So there it is. There's the beginning of things. Improving community engagement, which is really hard. If I put my parish councillor hat on, even my clerking hat on, it's hard to get engagement from the community. But you've got a really great tool at your fingertips, and it's your website. We are going beyond compliance today. We are going beyond transparency. We know what to do with that. Everybody knows what they must publish on their website and how. But this is more about getting the members of, as John mentioned at the beginning, your customers. Your customers are your is your community. Getting engagement or improving engagement is really hard. So, why is your website the best communication tool? Well, it's because it's got the widest reach. You can say the most to the most in one place. Let's find a balance between the things you must publish versus the things that you should publish. So, obviously, there's all of the regulatory stuff, all of that transparency information that we know about. We aren't going to go into that today. That's been on another session. But it is really important that as a council, whether you're a parish council, whether you are a town council, it's important that you demonstrate and show clearly the services that you provide and the services that the principal authorities provide. I think it's really, really obvious and quite normal for most parishioners in any community to get a bit confused as to which council does what. That's such a common piece of feedback. So you've got to communicate that. Don't assume. We're going to go into that in a bit more detail. But definitely, you should be telling your parishioners what you look after and the things that the principal authority look after. And also where to go to get help for those other services, links to various sites and places. Some of these things to you may sound very obvious. You might already be doing it, but I'm not going to assume a level of knowledge or experience because I do teach and train on this subject a lot, and it is always you are clerks. You are not natural communicators using the website. That's not a skill set. Obviously, your councils assume it is. In that finite amount of hours that you get as a clerk, there's always this assumption that aside from being a professional clerk, you're also a marketeer, you're an electrician, you know how to run sports pavilions, and all of that. So a lot of the things I'm going to be going through today may seem obvious, but I want to make sure that they are there and out and defined that you can take away as a defined list. Now, other things that are important that you should be publishing about are local initiatives, local organizations, local groups that perhaps have a regular meeting. These aren't things that the council are putting on or hosting or running, but it's helpful information as part of your community to tell people about local groups and initiatives. It could be local support groups, it could be local sports groups, it could be things for kids, it could be things for the elderly. It actually doesn't matter. But you will find that there are lots of members of your community who, if invited and are aware, can share their initiatives with you. And this information can be put on your website. This is good. This is free content. It's also known as user-generated content. We'll go into the practicalities of this later on. Other things are really important to share, and I'm bringing this up because you would be surprised how few councils share their projects, future projects, plans, and goals on their website. These are important. These are important to help members of the public and members of the community understand what the council is thinking. Now, as I've said before, I'm a councillor and clerk. Contrary to popular belief, members of the public rarely go through the minutes of meetings. I know it's a shocker. There are obviously one or two members of most communities that thoroughly enjoy going through them. But for the most part, when we have our meetings and we share our plans, that's the only place it gets identified. So having content on your website that talks about future projects and goals of the council is really, really important. And I'm going to come to how that can be used in due course. Now, that also connects nicely with things like consultations and views from the community. These things perhaps are ahead of precept and budget planning, looking at the ideas and the concepts that you could be doing so that when you go out to consultation, at least you can get the views from the community and you can then start to budget accordingly. And then, of course, there's other more community information that you can be making use of. Community news, obviously events, and those local groups and organizations, which I've mentioned before. All of these things you should be publishing to as much degree as you can possibly manage. Because very often a parish and a town is seen as a central hub. It's beyond just the formalities. And of course, as a council, and especially now with the prospect of local government changing, the LGR is going to make changes up and down the country. And there are going to be more and more responsibilities put on town and parish councils. So seeking the feedback and the engagement with your communities is going to be really important. So let's get stuck in with some nice, straightforward things to talk about. One of the first things that you can really bring to bear that will have a positive effect on your website is signposting. Now, web people like me call it signposting. What do we mean by that? Well, it's the go here for this, go there for that. Now, again, this may sound really obvious. And of course, your individual councils, you're not responsible for everything, but you are responsible for signposting to who is. So on your screen, you can see an example. This is a town council. It's a small town council just up the road from us, where Aubergine are based. A really effective thing that you can do on your homepage is to add buttons, signposts for the most commonly contacted themes you get. And of course, you can change these as things alter through the year. Adding a button for each of the most common things serves your community members. Okay? We all know, as I mentioned at the start, that most folk don't really know the difference between what the parish, the town, the borough, the district, the county council does. But by making it very clear for things like reporting potholes, reporting broken streetlights, reporting missed bin collections, anything of that nature, and anything else that you end up getting contacted about, but you have to write an email or tell somebody on the end of the phone, it's not us, you need to try so and so. If you put a button on your website that takes the person directly there, you've served them well. Now, this may sound like a patently obvious thing, but very, very few websites have it. Now, what I would say is Aubergine have built, like I say, nearly 1,000 parish and town council websites, all meeting the accessibility regulations. And part of our tools have these buttons as options. And they are a really quick and easy thing to do. If your website doesn't have that option, it's not difficult for you to set up text links that link to the relevant parts, but making sure that it's the sorts of things that you, as a clerk or a council professional, are contacted about regularly, serving your customers with the things that they need. People won't mind that they've ended up at your website, but it's not you that serves the thing that they're after. They do mind that you've helped them get to the right place. So as you can see on the screen there's those six buttons, helpful buttons. For example, buttons that go to the report it for people to report potholes and broken streetlights and things like that. That would go directly off to the page on your principal authority's website. Things like missed bin collections, things like planning. Obviously, at town and parish council level, we aren't responsible for planning decisions. But directing them to the principal authority's planning website, it's really important. That's a very common thing that most folk misunderstand. And of course, you can change these through the years. I've seen a lot of councils, particularly in areas of the country where get harsh winter weather. I've seen some of those in in Cumbria, Northumberland, North Yorkshire, where on the homepage they've put buttons that go directly to salt bin reporting or closed road reporting, things like that. Now, obviously, there would be things that would be suitable for your own area and your own parish, but a good approach to this is think of perhaps the six most common topics as a council you're contacted about, and then put buttons on the homepage. It might be something that you look after. If it is, great, link it to the page within your own website. If it isn't, and it's principal authority stuff, put a button to that page. It's a really, really high positive impact thing that you can do. And again, if I mentioned it a short while ago, if your website platform doesn't allow you to add buttons, just create a page that's got some links to it. Report potholes, report streetlights, report missed bin collections, and so on. That helpful signposting will really make a positive difference to you. It will help reduce the number of short little emails that you have to respond to. It's not us, it's them, and also the phone calls that you might receive. And of course, you can change them regularly. Keep that homepage up to date. These are very, very easy things. And the reason why I say homepage is, for the most part, that's where pretty much all of your visitors will arrive in the first instance. Homepage has to do a lot of heavy lifting, so make sure that it serves people well quickly. So there's our helpful signposting. Let's now move on a little bit, some more beyond that compliance. We want to enhance that community engagement. Now, there are lots and lots of really good ways to do this. Online surveys and polls and consultations, these are great things to do. I'll give you an example. In my own parish, we're a small rural farming community, and I suspect, much like most small parishes, we've got those white wooden gates at the entry points to the village. Well, one of our lovely farmers, he got a bit close, shall we say, with one of his tractors and ended up smashing one of the gates to smithereens. At which point, we discovered that to replace these gates was going to cost the best part of £3,500. And every other year, we ended up having to sand it down and paint it, which cost a couple of hundred quid. So we thought, let's ask the community. This is a good, low level, but potentially high impact thing that we can do. So we created a page on our website. It was a news post, and we explained what had happened, and we put a short little poll on there. Should we replace the gates at a cost of £3,500 and a biannual cost of £300, or should we not replace it at all and perhaps just use it to plant some flowers? We created that short little poll on the website, and then what we did was we then went into the village Facebook page, posted as the parish council, and explained what the council was thinking with a direct link back to that page on the website asking for views. Well, this was singularly one of the most engaging things that, as my own parish council, have ever done. As you might expect, the in true irony, of the 450 responses that we received, 50% were in favour of replacing the gates and 50% were in favour of not. So parish council ended up making a decision anyway. And it was to not replace the gates. But this is a very small way that you can really engage. Now, it's important to remember that you've got to go where people hang out. We're going to come to that shortly. Now, at this point, I'd like you to make a note of something really important to do. Please, please, please check the forms on your website actually work, and that they actually work from a mobile phone as well. I'm afraid all too common do we have parishes or towns that come to us and they say, we're looking for a new website, nobody ever contacts us through it, da 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 da. And we look at it and we go, well, that's because your form is broken. When was the last time you tested it? Form scripts on websites are very prone to breaking because the capture that sits behind it that prevents bot submissions needs to be constantly updated. But if it's not, the script will very quickly break. So, and tip to take away today, go onto your website, go to the contact form, both on your computer and your phone, and submit the form and make sure that it actually arrives in your inbox. And the reason why I say check on both, and that is because most website forms behave differently when they're displayed using the mobile responsive form. That's really important to check. So, desktop version, laptop or normal computer, and mobile. Check that they arrive. The capture could be broken. It could be going to an email address that's defunct. There could be a whole manner of reasons. But from a community engagement point of view, can you imagine what a parishioner might think when they go to the council's website, click submit. As far as they're concerned, they've sent their request into the council. But if you're not getting it, that means they're not getting any engagement back from you. So they're just going to get a little bit annoyed, aren't they? So these are really simple things that you can check and improve user experience. User experience is the term used. UX is the term used really with anything online. You experience it yourself. Take your mindset out of being a clerk or a council professional at the moment. Think like being a customer yourself. If you go to a website, if something doesn't work, you generally get a bit annoyed and you'll probably go somewhere else. Well, that's how your parishioners probably feel about your website if something's broken or it's difficult to use. So reduce barriers to engagement. making forms work. So going back to those online surveys and polls, they're very easy to add to your website. If you've got an Aubergine website, you've got a built-in form builder already. If you haven't, consider having a form module added to your website. Try and avoid using things like SurveyMonkey. SurveyMonkey is great outside of the parish and town council world. The problem with SurveyMonkey is it doesn't meet the website accessibility regulations. And so if you're sending a survey out, people with disabilities who use screen readers or assistive technology, they're going to struggle to use it. Now, it's important if you are going to engage with your community, you should be engaging with the whole community. Other things to consider. Again, this might feel like a really obvious thing, but it's really not that well used. Having an email newsletter subscription via your website. MailChimp, Sendinblue, MailPoet, lots and lots of these online tools provide free services. And you can create a newsletter that sends out to those that subscribe. This is a good way of engaging because as a member of the community, I'm not necessarily going to go to the parish or the town council's website of my own volition. But if I've subscribed to the regular newsletter, even if it's once a month, start with something that you can maintain. Once a month, if I sign up with my personal email, that's going to ping on my phone when that email arrives. So suddenly the parish or the town council has got into that person's life for that period of time. You've got their attention. And that's what we're vying for here. We're vying for attention. You can't expect people to know what's going on unless you tell them. So these newsletter subscriptions, you can have your a sign-up box on your website that automatically puts the person's email address into MailChimp or Sendinblue or something like that. These meet the GDPR compliance, UK GDPR compliance. So it's good for that side of things too. Now, every parish and town council is going to be able to come up with three or four different pieces of news and information that could be shared at least once a month. So this is a really good thing to start. Don't start by saying weekly because it's a hard responsibility to meet unless you've got dedicated members of staff. Once a month is all that is expected. And from a user, a member of the community's engagement point of view, certainly at parish council level, an email once a month is just fine. These are free and easy things to do. Obviously, as you the volume of messages that you might create and the size of your database increases, there's a chance that some of these things are going to have a cost. To give you an idea, MailChimp annually costs around about £120. And what you'll get from that is the ability to send something like 10,000 emails a month and a database of up to 5,000 people or something like that. More than suitable for a parish council. Now, let's talk about possibly the unspoken word thus far, social media. I know it is and will be and continues to be a bit of a difficult subject. Why? Well, it's because it's the Wild West. It's unregulated, it's unchecked, it's full of keyboard warriors. There's one problem, however, and that is this is where everybody hangs out. People hang out on social media platforms. People hang out on Facebook. Yes, Instagram too, slightly harder to use at parish and town council level. But let's just, for the purpose of today, talk about Facebook. Using social media, Facebook as an example, to bring in visitors and then communicate with is the best route. You've got to go where your audience is because here comes some bad news, guys. People in your community do not hang out on your council's website. I know it's crushing that they don't go to your parish or your town council's website the moment they wake up with their cup of coffee. But they do hang out on Facebook. So you've got to go there where they hang out, and you've got to then drive people from there to your website. Now, again, this might sound like a really obvious thing to do, you would be surprised how misunderstood the correct process is. It's a really, in summary, it's about going where people hang out, Facebook, creating that tease, that headline to draw people into the website, your own official place of messaging. You can't, as a parish council or a town council, control what goes on Facebook. But you do control the parish council's website. So let's talk about that. Let's create a scenario. Your council is considering updating the neighbourhood plan or creating a neighbourhood plan. And that is definitely a community engagement theme. It's a big theme. I've been part of neighbourhood plans, and they are years of work. Let's create an example. You want to look at budgeting. Perhaps the council, as part of its neighbourhood plan, or not necessarily part of the neighbourhood plan, just generally, want to upgrade or make a new playground. The idea is share your ideas and goals. Remember at the beginning, I was talking about improving the way to share councils' plans and goals. Make sure that that's published on the website. Make sure that there is a 25, 26, 26, 27. These are the things that the parish council or the town council's future goals and aims are. And then some individual pages for each of those themes, those subjects. Why is that important? Well, you want to always be driving people back to the council's website for the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. You control that zone. You don't control Facebook or Instagram or anything else, but you control the council's website. So people can trust it. People will go there and they will trust what is said there. You would, the correct approach, create a page on your website. And let's talk about this is our fictitious playground planning. And on our web page, perhaps we would write some information that says the parish council is thinking about upgrading the playground. And we have some ideas and concepts that will see that playground through, hopefully, for the next 30 years, the next generation. And the budget and the cost is going to be in the region of this or that. Be nice and transparent. Perhaps you have some visuals or some concept designs that you can share. Consider adding a poll or a form on there where people can provide the feedback. So this is important because people will then trust that the feedback that they provide on the council's website will be received. Whereas providing feedback on a social media platform such as Facebook just encourages our keyboard warriors and often, I'm afraid, negative or inaccurate responses. But by having that page that's got the whole story, this is what we plan to do, here's our ideas, and we want your feedback. Do you like playground design A, B, or C? Perhaps you might even want to collect some information from the people. By doing that, it means that then you can review that data and you can analyze it because all of it would be coming into you. It'd be your data. And then you can then share the results laterally on another news post. So this is the life cycle of a piece of engagement, concept and idea. This is what we plan to do. This is what we're thinking. That goes on the website. You share that on the Facebook page, the village or the town Facebook page, using the council's own Facebook profile with the link going back to the relevant page on the website, not just the homepage. Don't expect people to just visit the homepage and then find this page. Give them a link directly there. Remember, it's all about reducing the barriers, reducing the likelihood of somebody dropping off along the way. And then laterally, consider then providing a news post on your website that then reports the results and the feedback. And again, you can then share that post on Facebook. The article on Facebook would be, 2 months ago, we sought your views and your concept, your ideas about the idea of us upgrading the playground. Well, we've gathered all the information and the feedback, and we've published it here over on our website. Come back. So they're going to come back again to visit the website. All roads must always lead back to your website. And over time, what you're going to be doing is you're going to be subconsciously educating members in your community that your website is a trusted place to go for a source of information and not Facebook. You do need to still maintain that information being posted in Facebook because, for the most part, most folk who've got Facebook will have notifications enabled. So when they open it up each and every day, they will see the notifications and you will improve your engagement. Now, let's talk about some of that now. Social media channels are used habitually. Everybody does it. By that I mean, most people will use Facebook at the same time of day. For me, if you wanted to reach me and a post appear in front of me in my Facebook feed, you're going to need to make sure that it gets delivered and displayed early in the morning. I generally look at social media for about 5 or 6 minutes over a cup of coffee at about 5:30 in the morning before I start work. If, however, you've posted it at 8 o'clock at night, I'm never going to see that because there's going to be so many other posts that will have happened, it will be buried. So you're not going to get me. I'm not going to know anything about it. So a good piece of advice is publish the same thing 2 or 3 times at different times of the day, because then you are going to start to reach different members of the community. Some people will check in the morning, some during the day, some late at night. But if you don't post it at a few different time frequencies, you're not going to get to a certain group of people because not hardly anybody scrolls more than a couple of minutes. So it's okay to do a couple of posts of the same thing. You can slightly alter the text to the same post. However, I think it's important to make sure that the benefits of reposting it, we call it evergreen content. By doing that, you are going to massively improve the engagement and the reach to your audience. So there we go. We're going to the whole story is making sure that the full article and potentially a poll or an inquiry form on the web page to seek feedback. You've got the full truth and whole truth on your website. You share the headline and a short excerpted version, just like you can see on the screen, with a link directly to that page on your website. Now, oftentimes people say to me, what about comments? We've had some terrible comments in the past, da, 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 all that kind of stuff. Well, it is going to depend largely on your particular council's staffing availability. If you have team members, comms officers, that are able to, as part of their job, each and every day, monitor comments, then by all means, leave the comments on your Facebook page. But as a general rule, our recommendation is turn the comments off on the council's official Facebook page so that it is an outbound communication tool only. You don't want people to engage there because it is quite difficult to manage, and people will, they can't help themselves, say whatever they feel, whether it's true, offensive, or otherwise. So take yourself out of that difficult situation and turn the comments off. But you can still use the page to post in the village-wide and the local community Facebook groups. What you're looking for is considered and concise engagement, something that can be measured, which is why you are directing people back to the website, your website, to gather the views on that form or that poll. You can do this regularly. It could be anything from ideas and concepts. So as part of your annual plan, When council are putting together their precept budget planning and they're thinking about things to do for the next 12 months, you can share that post. And then you've got more content latterly to then put in the newsletter, which you can link back to the relevant page on the website. Put on social media that links back to the relevant page on the website, because then you can start to gather the responses in a concise and analytical way. And remember, you get a second and a third bite of the cherry with each news article, because you can then follow up with another news post and some more social media posts about the results. That's the good thing about what we do. What we do is we come up with an idea or we come up with a plan, we put it out there, and then we can feedback on it. Now, don't worry about numbers. One of the most common misconceptions is the worry that, let's just say you've got a community of 1,000 people and you put an article or a post or a poll or something like that out there and you get 7 responses. Well, the natural result is for people to post the responses in percentages. Don't do that. It is well known that most folk have absolutely no clue to work out percentages. And the reason why they don't know is because they have no idea how many people live in the village or how many people were asked. So post actual numbers, be brave. It doesn't matter. Now, whilst we're talking about forms, and whether they're polls or consultations or your general contact form, please, please, please do not use Microsoft Word files or PDFs as forms that you expect people to fill in. You cannot fill in an MS Word form online. You can't do it. You've got no way of submitting it. And you cannot fill in a PDF because it's a locked document. So are you expecting people to download it, print it out? How are they going to get it to you? Fold it into a paper airplane and fly it at you? Forms should be actual web forms. Better still, forms that are mobile optimized. As I said several times, we manage nearly 1,000 parish and town council websites, and we know by looking at the analytical data, more than 85% of all parish and town council website visitors are using a phone. Specifically, usually it's about 9:40 in the evening, and I can bet the user is probably sat on the sofa. So make it easy for people to engage with you. Make sure that any forms that are on your website are actual web forms. A, from an accessibility legal compliance point of view, but also from an actual usability point of view. It's easier for you to upload a Word file or a PDF file, but you've suddenly created a massive barrier to the people that you're trying to get some feedback from because they can't open it, they can't fill it in, they can't send it back to you. But web forms, they can be filled online. Also, it means that you can capture and use the data better. If you can gather data in a digital way, you can analyze it, which means you can report back on it better. Like I said before, please make sure that your forms are mobile friendly. Here's an example on the screen there where I'm a councillor in Eaton Bray, our memorial plaque for our cemetery. We've got a lovely web form there for people to be able to fill it in and submit it, and that goes off to Heidi, our lovely clerk, who then processes it. But it's a really easy way, particularly something like this. The person filling that in is almost certainly, their mind is elsewhere, almost certainly. So making it easy is a good thing to do for everything, whether it's submitting a request for a piece of information from the council, whether it's applying for this, looking to book a hall, a room, or hire a hall, an allotment application, or feedback on whether you should have design A or B for the playground. Because, like I said, you want to talk to your community, well, more than 80% are going to be using a phone. So make it easy for them. Now, why is all of this important? Because it builds transparency and trust. If you engage more with the community through blog posts or news posts that are on your website, you can then share that stuff on social media. Maybe consider getting the chair to do a monthly short news post about current things. It could be anything from this seemingly national epidemic of nitrous oxide canisters being left everywhere, or fly tipping, or positive things like the new playground has opened, or we've installed three new dog bins in the park. These are good community engagement things. It was shared with me in a recent webinar training session that a council was trying for years to engage with its community. One of the councillors noticed there was so much rubbish outside their little shop. And so they just decided to put a bin outside the shop. There was actually one there 20 years ago, but it had broken and been taken away. The council just did it. And the positive comments and feedback, not just from the usual Facebook users, but young people as well, because they were coming out of the shop and they were putting the rubbish in the bin, the positive feedback was instant. We live in a local government world where those small things have a really positive impact. They are good for sharing because it does build trust and it builds transparency. Don't think that you haven't got any content to share on news posts, on pages, and social media because you do. Every single minute that you read through, there will be positive decisions made on the council's going to do this, the council's going to replace a gate, we're going to trim the hedges over here. Share it. Because people won't necessarily go to the minutes. In fact, they most likely won't. But a lot of stuff is that's positive that parish and town councils do isn't talked about. I think it's really fair to say that as a group of organizations, we are shockingly bad about sharing the stuff that we as parish and town councils do. How can we expect feedback and engagement from our communities if we don't tell the people what we've been up to? So looking at the minutes and going, well, is there anything from the minutes that we can take out that we can report on short little stories on social or on a news post? Because a lot of members of the community will see parish and town council minutes as formal, thick, difficult documents to navigate. Whereas a blog post on the website that's then shared on social media, it's very easy to digest. Sharing those community initiatives and success stories. Success stories are really good, whether it's winning a green flag award for your park or whether it's putting a bin outside the shop. Share it. Now, navigation is something that comes up a lot. Navigation on your website. We see all too often that websites have got complex navigation. People struggle to find what they're looking for. Now, I talked at the beginning of the session about signposting. This is critical, but making sure that the mobile responsiveness and the menus are very clear and well labeled. Here's an example. At Aubergine, our website platform uses something called MegaNavs. These are large menus that allow us to columnize content. As you can see here, here's an example. You've got all of the regulatory information grouped together in one nice large menu. Very easy for people to use and great from an accessibility point of view. If we were to toggle across and select the services menu, you would see a menu that was split in two. The left-hand side would show all of the council responsibilities. The right-hand side would show a list of all of the things that were principal authority. So it links off. This is a very easy thing to do. Because ultimately, you need to become a bit of a hub, a central place, sharing events, up-and-coming events. Not, I don't mean council meetings. Sorry, and I can say this because, I'm with you too. Nobody cares. You're publishing those anyway. But sharing the up-and-coming events could be anything. Maybe you only do one event a year, but share it. Also consider asking your residents on a form to submit their events for inclusion, obviously with your moderation. Think about adding maps. I saw a brilliant one the other day where a parish council had decided that they would put a map on the website. Actually, I think there were two that had both parks and the location of the dog bins and the benches on those maps. I know, it's not rock and roll, but it is a really positive thing to do. All of these things will have such a great effect on not just sharing those things that you do as a council, but it also helps people quickly get to that info. Signposting. We do this. Principal authorities do that. So let's just finalize things with social media. Links to your social media channels from your website are acceptable. Do not automatically pull your social media content from your website from your Facebook page onto your website because that will break the legal compliance of website accessibility. Not one single social media platform meets the accessibility regulations and unlikely to do so. And by pulling that content through, you are breaking the accessible nature of your website. Link outbound. You don't want people to get to your website and then instantly go back to Facebook. You've sweated hard to get them to your website. Keep them there. Those social links, short headlines, short description, link directly to the page. And always put a picture. I'd like to just quickly add about pictures. Please, 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 if you are using pictures on your website or on your social media channel, make sure that they are a picture that you are entitled to use. Do not go onto Google Images and use a picture that you've found there. They are not yours. You are potentially exposing yourself to a licensing fine. Use an image that is yours, you took, or you know who took, or you've bought from an image library. Do not take an image from Google Images or something like that. And again, whilst we're talking about social, consider making your Facebook page outbound messages only so that people can't comment on it. People more than happy to comment on the village or the townwide Facebook page, and that there is the Wild West. Let that be so. You don't control it, it's not your zone. Because it's going to help you just better manage those keyboard warriors and out of control social situations. Now, what I would say is make sure that you've got a social media usage policy as a council, so that if you've got staff, if you've got councillors who are posting on social on behalf of the council, it's done so within a defined set of rules. So, regular updates on your website that are shared on Facebook, and they can also go on to those email newsletters. Consider adding those. And keep gathering that community feedback. Monitor the website's analytics. Look at the data that you might gather from those forms, and then create an article that reports back on it. You would be surprised just how much interest that will gain. A major complaint of community members is they don't know what the council does, and it's difficult to get in touch with them, and nobody ever really responds. Now, that might not be at parish or town council level, but remember, parishioners will very often group together parish, town, borough, city, county council. They don't know the difference. So, making sure that you always go back to them, making sure that there's always a response, follow up with your if you're asking for feedback, post the feedback. And now, the last part, training and support. Obviously, everybody uses social media and website updates slightly differently. And I've said to you before, having a social media usage policy is important. But if you do embark on some of these things, make sure that before you do so, the people who are posting the content or writing the content understand what to do. Don't assume people know how to post on Facebook. Don't assume people know how to write a newsletter on an email. Because if they are trained, a simple bit of training, a simple bit of guidance will make sure that that communication goal is much more successful. And then, really, if, as a larger councillor, if you've got some communication challenges, maybe you've got some big planning authority or some big challenges going on in your area, maybe consider speaking to our colleagues and friends over at Breakthrough Communications, Dan Purchase and his pals there, because they are town and parish council communication experts. They have got some great advice and some tips and tools for parish and town councils. So we've now come to the end of today's session on improving community engagement using your council's website, obviously with other things, newsletters, emails, social media platforms, forms on your website. John, thank you. Thank you so much for inviting me to come and talk to everybody today.
General questions on other channels. So obviously at the top, we talked about Facebook a lot, and there's only a certain generation on Facebook. People say 30 plus, some could even say 40 plus, everyone under 40. And
The
then
numbers that we
just building on that, sorry, Mark. Then there's they talk about, obviously TikTok, Instagram, etc. But then also some other councils, Fiona, she's talking about a WhatsApp group started in COVID, and that's quite popular, and no one goes anywhere else. So you did mention find, go to where people are. And then also Lauren's asking about using Facebook Messenger and allowing them to contact there. So it's all these other channels outside your website and your traditional Facebook.
You're right with the numbers. Our assessment of the numbers and the age groups and so on and so forth is Facebook is typically 35s to 75s. And that's a big chunk of your community. The younger groups, they will be using TikTok, Instagram, and those sorts of things. You can, if you have the bandwidth, if you have the ability and the time to use those other channels, of course, extend. But I would always say do one thing well first. Facebook still has the lion's share of social media. So use that well. And once you feel that you might have exhausted that and you've got it into a regular routine, then look to audience appropriate content. So if you are going to look to TikTok, it's almost certainly going to be the under 25s. So going and thinking about what is that message? What is the content that I should be sharing there? There's no point going on there and talking about neighborhood plans and minutes and all of that kind of stuff on TikTok. What you want to be talking about is something that's age appropriate. Now, you also asked about other channels. Remember this. You don't own WhatsApp. You don't own Facebook Messenger. You don't own any of those other channels. You should try as much as possible to send people to the website to gather the data because you own that place. That's your data. Remember, if you, with something like a WhatsApp group, there's no mediation, there's no control. Somebody could say something really, really offensive. You might be lucky, and that hasn't happened so far. Somebody could slight. It could be a problem, but you don't then control it. And also, you then also have a little bit of a GDPR risk point because a Facebook, sorry, a WhatsApp group shares the mobile number with everybody else of all of the other member groups. So please remember that it's very convenient, but in that convenience, it's come at a cost potentially of sharing data inadvertently. It's also not a decision location. A WhatsApp group, you cannot make decisions. It's convenient, in my own council. Us councillors have a WhatsApp group purely to discuss. Perhaps we have an event. I'll see you up at the green in 10 minutes. I'll bring the gazebo with me. But it is not a decision making. And remember, individuals, so personally identifiable information, must not be shared in that WhatsApp group. And of course, you run the risk of somebody accidentally sharing PII in that WhatsApp group. And then if it's the council's WhatsApp group, then you've got a problem. So I would always of try and avoid as much as possible. If people, if you want to ask people to WhatsApp you as a council, that's fine. It's a one-to-one comm. Same goes for Facebook Messenger. It's a one-to-one communication. But having wide groups, that's danger town.
Okay, yeah, good advice there, Mark. There's also a collection of questions. You mentioned SurveyMonkey. Does anyone have an alternative? Do you have suggestions on an alternative that is GDPR compliant? There is a council that regularly uses Google Forms for everything, you know, but yeah, what do you recommend?
First of all, Google Forms. I know they might be attractive and I know they might be free, but they are about 100 million light years away from being accessible and therefore they are not compliant. Remember, you are sharing that data with our friends at Alphabet in California, and anybody who uses a screen reader isn't going to be able to use them easily. I know it's convenient for you, but it's bad for users. Just, you know, a shameless plug there, John. Aubergine websites have got a form that are in it. So, if you've got an Aubergine website, you don't need to worry about that. If you haven't, you should look at approaching your website person to ask about adding a form or poll builder. Using SurveyMonkey is great, but it's not accessible and therefore it is not compliant. Same goes for Google Forms. Same, I'm afraid, goes for Microsoft Forms. They also do not meet accessibility regulations. And you are sharing the data with our friends at Microsoft.
Excellent. Thank you, Mark. I'm going to do some questions and comments. People can also raise their hand if they have some additional questions. You kind of covered that. You already mentioned Breakthrough Communications because they do recommend you do not turn comments off. They say always respond, engage in comments, whatever they are, in a concise and friendly way. Some others said, Stuart said, if you turn the comments off on Facebook, it stalls the reach of the post. And Deputy Clark says, would you suggest having the comments off on community or village pages or just on the parish council Facebook page? So there's a few questions on comments there. While Mark is answering them, feel free to raise your hand in Zoom if you have additional questions. And also, I will be at the end just showing a little demo of turning one of Belinda's couple of her meetings into a newsletter.
In response to the point about comments, it's as I said, it's for each council to handle according to its own time, availability, and resources. If you have team members, if you have the staff to be able to monitor it, great. Ex and I fully support Dan and everybody else's comments about respond politely. But it is a full-time job. And remember, social media channels are 24/7. Somebody could post something really, really bad at 2 a.m., which means it's sitting there until you get into the office to be able to respond to it. So just remember that. I don't think that given, you know, you count town and parish councils are not high brands that need to reach everybody every second of the day. So worrying about the choking and the post reach isn't a concern of yours. This is more about making sure that it gets delivered. And of course, if you followed my principles of posting several times at different times of the day, you will reach people in their feeds at that time. This is my view.
Excellent. Thank you very much, Mark. That was a good session again. Again, I love the way you're so clear in how you communicate and talk and share and your knowledge.
Thank you.
So it's accessible to everybody. Much better when when it's live as well, in person.
Very much so.
And as you know, it's tradition, we've got this pay it forward question. So I'll ask you that. So it was Millie Manton. She asked a really good question. I loved it. If you could pick someone else's job for a week, what would you pick?
Oh, I love that, Millie. What a great question. Well, I'm sure everybody at some point has thought about an alternative life that they might have led had they not taken a path. Mine was always to join the Royal Air Force and be a fighter pilot. And I didn't get in because I'm colorblind, miss. What would I do? Ignoring the fact that I've got colorblindness, it would definitely be a fighter pilot for a week.
Oh, that's cool. Good one. I thought you were going to say you can't get in because you're too short.
Harsh,
Dig.
but probably fair.
Probably better. Awesome. Yeah, I wonder what mine would be. Yeah, it's obviously going to be a surfing, professional surfer. That would probably be
Yeah,
it.
that's you.
And what about, yeah, have you got to leave? You know, this is the second time you've done it. What was the last, I can't remember what the last question you did. Anyway, yeah, what's your question for the next guest speaker?
My question for the next guest speaker is similar, in actual fact. If you could stop what you're doing today and take up a hobby, what would that be? Based on the hobbies that you do and the things that you love, what would you go on to do?
It is a good one. I like that. It's basically if you had the space and time to do it, it's
Yeah,
almost
space and
like,
time and no
yeah,
commitments. No
no commit.
commitments. Yeah.
It's almost like a retirement type question. But yeah, I like that one. I like that
Exactly.
one. Cool. Anyway, before we wrap up, what's going on in Aubergine this year? So we're already into April. How's it been going so far? And what's any plans? Anything you want to share? Any kind of secret?
Well,
Yeah.
obviously with Assertion 10, John, it's been a busy time for everybody who works in the parish and town council sector. We have built hundreds and hundreds of new websites for councils and transitioned them across to .gov.uk domains. And the outcome of that, with so many new councils on our platform now, has really driven us to look at new features for the website and also new features for our community engagement app. We have a community engagement app that's designed specifically for parish and town councils to connect with their website, but also help them with specific communication goals. So we're looking at introducing some really good new features to that. So keep an eye on the aubergine262.com website for that.
Awesome. Okay. Thank you very much. Have a good day. Cheers, Mark.
Cheers. Bye.